titled this little message, God's Call in Our Life. And I know last night I spoke about the directions we should take, and that's part of our call. But answering, everybody has a personal call and a specific call to their life. And I think as a young teenager, I was struggling finding that, as I shared last night. And so I want to kind of just go through some things that maybe we can all learn about our call in our life. So the text is Mark 1, 16 through 20. And I'm sure everybody's read this many, many times. But it just talks a little bit about what it means to be a servant, I think. That's what I get when I read from it. And the Bible says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andre, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." Let's pray. God, thank you for this time that you've given us to be together in your house. Thank you for the message that you sent me, God. And please just let me speak in a way you want me to. And if someone here tonight needs to hear what I have to say, let them hear it, God, because that's what we're here for. And just bless the rest of this service and bless all the time of fellowship we have afterwards. In your name, amen. Okay, so as we read this, we can see that Jesus is gathering his disciples. And as a Christian, we're all disciples. And that's our call in our life. And God is calling everyone here today to be a disciple. And the great thing is, he's here with us and walking with us every step of the way. And all we've got to do is simply listen to him. It's that easy. And we will be led to do something for him if we listen to him, because that's, like I've said, all of our call in our life is to tell everyone, like Jonathan said, tell everyone about him. So let's look at some different calls that he will place on a Christian's life. And I think the first call, and this is point one if you're taking notes, point number one, I think, is the call of salvation. And that should be the very first call that we receive as a Christian. If you look in verse 2:17, there in verse 17, he says, "Come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men." So once we accept Christ and we come after him, he's going to teach us how to be a disciple. Also, if you look back here in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, if we go back a couple of verses, look in verse 13. We'll start from there. "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the receipt of the custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many that followed him. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So right there, it talks about that first call, the call of salvation. He came into the world to save sinners. And I'm thankful that he did, because he called me. And those who humbly acknowledge their sin and receive this gracious forgiveness that he gives is welcome into his kingdom. Like that verse talks about in 17, sin is a disease. It's kind of like a cancer, if you will. It starts from the inside, and eventually it just grows outward and outward until you just in this downward spiral. And it's so amazing, like we've said many times, he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. And he'll save you as good as you're going to get, and he'll save you as bad as you're going to get. He'll save you, and that's so amazing. But first and foremost, we have to accept Christ. And like I talked about last night, choosing a path to take, I don't know how anybody could live a life without Christ. And it's as easy as just believing that he died on the cross for you. He sent his son to die just for you if you were the only one here. And like we've said many times, if there's anybody in here tonight that needs to accept Christ, that's the most important decision you're ever going to make. But also, when you become a Christian, you have to have the right relationship with God. And that, like I talked a little bit about last night, doesn't just mean playing Christian and coming into church on Sundays and Wednesdays. That means living for Christ every day of the week. And that's a disciple. And that's what we all should want to be. And then, of course, the highest calling is winning others for Christ. And trying to get as many people as we can to come to know Christ so that nobody should perish. That's not God's will. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the high prize, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And God's just so good, and He's blessed us so much. And it just amazes me that He would want to save someone just as worthless as me. I think when it comes to this calling, we have to have communion with Christ, and we have to abide in Him all the time, because without Him, there's just no peace. And I know there's days when I try to, maybe not necessarily try to, but just involuntarily, just don't really think that much about God. You just go in your routine and go throughout your day. But let me tell you, it's just that those always end up being your worst days, and you just get down and out. But when you have good communion with God, I think you're just a happy person. And I don't see how a true Christian can be sad all the time. And I think you can look at someone most of the time and just say, you know, I almost bet you that person's a Christian. They just have a peace and a joy about them. But second, all Christians share a set of common callings, like basic instructions that the Bible gives, loving one another, praying for your persecutors, giving to those in need, honoring your parents, not stealing, not coveting. And I think one of the most important ones is being prepared to share your faith with others. And the Bible always talks about being prepared. And I don't think I've seen so many cases where people have tried to argue. And people, even with me, and this is where I've struggled, is I'll tell somebody, well, the Bible says this. And they'll be like, where? And I'll be honest, sometimes I haven't been ready to show them. And how does that look? Because that person needed witness to, yet I wasn't ready to show them. And how unprepared and just foolish do I look? But then third, and this is the call we all have to answer personally, is everybody's specific calling. The Bible speaks about vocations, and that's what a specific calling is. That, and God directs each of us to accomplish that. And with me personally, I know that's music ministry. I know I answered that call this past year, that God told me that this is where I needed to be. And I'm so thankful. I shared a little bit of my testimony last night that that was what He told me to do. And folks tonight, young or old, we all need to listen to our vocations that God's given us. And all you got to do is just ask Him. And He's going to tell you. He's not going to steer you wrong. Amen. The second call is the call to pray. 1 Timothy 2:1-3 says, I exhort thee therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So when we come to the call of praying as a Christian, the first thing the Bible talks about here is praying for the saints. And it doesn't matter how perfect you are, but you're still going to fail. And I think prayer for anyone is what everybody needs. And I'm so thankful that I have a family at home that lifts me up in prayer. I have friends that lift me up in prayer. And I know we all should just lift each other up in prayer as Christians. And I'm so thankful for a church like this that lifts our ministry up in prayer. We really, really appreciate that. And it's the prayers of all of you all that keep us on the road. I know that without a doubt. But also, we need to pray for the lost. And not just other Christians. We need to be praying for everybody, because how is someone going to come to know Christ with nobody praying for them? And we need to also just be a good witness that way. It's a great way to witness. I shared the little story yesterday about me just praying over my food at school, and somebody came up to me and said, thank you. I haven't seen somebody pray over the food in I don't know how long. And I was just kind of blown away. I thought that was a lot of people just prayed over their food, but I guess that's kind of fallen to the wayside now. But also, we need to pray for those who are in authority. And I know this is a youth revival, but there's a lot of adults in here. And we all watch the news, and we see how the government is, and we see how our world is. But folks, they need prayer just as much as we do, if not more, because they've got a lot of decisions riding on them. And I'm sure a lot of wrong decisions have been made, but there have been some good ones. And so we just need to pray for our leaders and our country, because God's blessed this country so much, and it would just be a shame to Just watch it fall. But the third call is the call of discipleship. And if you look back in verse 17, it says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And the thing that gets me even more than that is the next verse. Verse 18, "Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." And let me tell you, I think a true servant is willing to do God's work at a moment's notice. And if you look here, he just, I mean, it's so crazy. They just did not even question. God said, "Hey, come follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to be fishermen." They were just like, "All right." And they dropped their nets and they went. And I tell you, how many times are we reluctant when God calls us to do something? We say, "We'll do it later. We'll do it later. It's okay, God. It can wait." But the work of the Lord should never take a back seat.
Amen.
But it was the task of a disciple of Jesus to learn and study and pass along his teachings and parables. And although salvation is free, the gift of salvation is free to us, it costs everything that we have. And you have to be selfless to be a true disciple. And that's hard because we're human and we're prideful and we like our things. And like this next passage I'm going to read, if you want to read along with me, Matthew 19, 20 and 22. It says, "The young man saith to the Lord, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, because he had great possessions." And how many of us can relate to that young man? When we know what's right, we know that we have to give up ourselves. We have to just completely surrender everything we have to Christ. But we don't want to because we think we have great possessions. And I tell you, I don't think there's anything wrong with having possessions in life. But when they come before God and His works, that's when it's wrong. That's when it's an idol. And this young man here in the parable, he had idols. He had great possessions, as the Bible said. And how sad is it that we put possessions in front of Christ? And we put things in front of God that aren't even going to matter. And, you know, once you die, you can't take it with you. And it's going to stay right here. And I don't know. I mean, we all struggle with that, I think. There's all of us have certain things that we like, and it can vary. Everybody has little collections and hobbies and everything, but when it comes in front of Christ, there's a song that I like. It's called "Clear the Stage," and it's talking about all the idols that we have in our life. And a line in the song says, "Clear the stage and make some space for the one who deserves our praise." And that's Christ, folks. There's nothing in life that we can put in front of Him that's going to give us as much joy. And I can tell you, I mean, I honestly can't tell you that I saw one day I had this just salvation experience after I was, in the world and in all these drugs and alcohol and all this, because I was saved at a young age and I was blessed to be raised in a great Christian home. But I can tell you, I can look back on my life and see things that I would have went through without Christ, and I don't know how I would have handled it if I didn't have Christ on my side. And especially one of the biggest things I think that we are challenged with in our life is the death of a family member or a friend. And I've seen so many people go through that without Christ, and they question, you know, well, if God's so loving, why would He let this happen? And you know, it's not our place to question God, but what we can be thankful about is that if they were a true born-again Christian, we're going to see them again. And that's how a Christian would view things. We're happy, we're rejoicing for that loss, for that person that we have lost, because hopefully they're in heaven and we'll get to see them again. But a person who isn't a follower wouldn't think like that. But to be a disciple, we have to be a learner. We have to dig into the Word like I talked about last night. We have to try to glean as much as we can and let God and the Spirit grow our faith. And but to also be a disciple, we have to be a follower of Christ. So we have to learn from Christ and we have to follow Him at the same time, which goes hand in hand. But, you know, being a disciple is something that I would never give up. It's just such an awesome feeling to do. And like Jonathan said, we're all preachers of Christ if we're a Christian. We're all ministers, and we all have a job. And that goes back into that middle calling I talked about, the common calling, is to share His Word. And we all have that calling. Now, specifically, the specific callings, you know, I'm called to music ministry. Maybe not all of you in here are called to music ministry. Maybe some of you can't sing at all. And some of you think you can sing. And that's okay. God said make a joyful noise. He didn't say it had to be good. And but we just smile. And hey, if there's I've heard a lot of people that think they're great singers, but they're not. But they sing a song about Jesus, and it just gets me excited. Because it's about the words in the song. It's about the message. It's not about the singer. And but our specific calling is what we have to answer. And I know I gave a little bit of my testimony last night about going to school, and I was going to be an eye doctor, and God, I thought that was okay for about 4 years, and God finally redirected my path, and I'm so thankful that He did, and I answered my specific calling He gave me. But also, to answer the call of service, we have to sacrifice, just like those verses talk about. They forsook their nets, they left their father and their servants. And there's so much sacrifice that goes into ministry and to being a minister and to being a disciple. You have to completely deny yourself and to carry your cross daily. And there's even the Bible talks about you as a Christian, you're not going to be well-liked most of the time. But I'm so thankful that that's not going to matter one day. When I get to heaven, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. But also in the call to service, we need to be fishers of men. Like I discussed, it's about teaching others and training others to grow in Christ. And that's what it's all about. And this is a revival service, and, you know, I'm hoping that the majority of us in here are Christians, are born again. But I'm sure there's at least one in here that isn't tonight. And I tell you, I answered the call to service when Dennis told me about 6 months ago that I was going to be preaching at this revival, because at this time, I didn't preach. But I got up at 6 o'clock yesterday morning and drove all the way up here and came to sing and play to a lost person. And that's why I did this. I didn't do it because I was getting paid to come, because I tell you, I'd much rather be at home spending time with my family. But when God calls you to do something, you got to answer His call. And, you know, Dennis didn't ask me if I wanted to preach. God told him I was going to preach. And so Mike called me a preacher. Oh, Dennis. Gosh. Bless him, Lord. But tonight, I just want to ask that question one more time. Do you know Christ tonight? And I know we've got stuff waiting for us over there with food and everything, but God's here tonight, and He's waiting right here for you. He can see your struggles and your pains, and He knows what you're going through, but He just wants you to surrender it all to Him. And that's what it takes. That's all it takes. His burden is light and His yoke is easy. He can carry your burdens. He's got big shoulders. He's got a lot bigger shoulders than you do. So tonight I'm just going to ask these guys to play something. And as they play, if you've got a need, if you've got something you're carrying and you just can't do it anymore, because I know I've been in that place many times, just give it to Him. He can carry it a lot easier than you can. He's got big shoulders, like I said. So just listen to the words of this song.